Today on Real Radio.
His grace is sufficient for everything. God's unearnable favor. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't achieve it. You cry out to him for it, and God says, I'll give it. I'll get you through this. How does it work in my life? It's supernatural.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. We're in a mini-series taken from an unusual passage of Scripture, the first 10 verses of chapter 12. Here's where the apostle reveals a supernatural experience that he had 14 years earlier. Now, we've all heard about people having near-death experiences, and they go on to sometimes write books and make movies. But what Paul witnessed in his case was something that he said he couldn't even talk about. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in a lesson called When Heaven Becomes Real.
If eternity looks at you, does it identify Jesus in your life? Realities await us. Listen, this is fun. You see, when you're talking about heaven, talking about us being there, what are we going to be like? We don't know, except this. 1 John 3:1 says this. Behold, what manner, what depths of love has the Father bestowed or given to us. The word means to be open-palmed. The Father, look, what manner of love has the Father, watch me everybody, bestowed upon us. That's what that word means. Open-palmed. It's a word that means children can come and take food and candy from your hands. Isn't that neat? God says, here, I'm coming to you open-palmed. Isn't that cool? I love that. And so he's like this, open-palmed. Children of God, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. But we know this, that when he is revealed, that is in his coming for us, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself. What does that word mean? Stays away from filth, frankly, just as he is pure. So what does that mean? Jesus could come back at any time. Well, what are we going to be like? In that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says we'll be changed when it happens, either by death or by rapture. What are we going to be like? I don't know. But it says we'll be like him. This is cool. Think about it. What do we know about his post-resurrection body? You could touch Jesus. You could hug him. Isn't that interesting? But he also had scars. He had holes in his hands, in his side, and in his feet. Remember that? Now, will we have scars? I hope not. Some people have said when we're resurrected or when we're changed, that is a type or shows picture of a sinful nature will be gone from us. In other words, if you have these handicaps, physical handicaps in life, will you be that way in eternity? No way, because all manifestations of sin will be removed. You'll have a glorified body, right? But it appears from Zechariah, for example, and the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ himself is scarred for eternity. So what will we be like? We'll be able to hug. We'll be able to go through walls, which is cool because Jesus ate some fish tacos, no doubt, right? Remember in John 20 something or other, John 20? Jesus ate with them and then he vanished right through without the door being opened. And what's cool thing about it is I get that part about him. That's amazing. But what happened to the food? Because when he walked through the wall, you didn't see like a taco and lettuce fall onto the ground. That's what keeps me up at night. You're going to be like that. And he appears and disappears places. I don't know about you, I love that. In one place, he's speaking to the guys on the road to Emmaus, and then he shows up in some other place. You say, well, I don't want to be interested in that. I'm not going to, that heaven stuff, I don't really care about. No, but you'll go to the movie and watch some fantastic movie about some invisible man and some guy popping up here and some transformer thing, and you go, ooh, that's junk. Why don't you join the real Transformers? Join our group. Our group is following Jesus. And he is not only going to transform us, he's transformed us first from the inside out. The inside's coming out. When heaven becomes real, difficulties become reasonable. Listen, reasonable is a good thing because God wants to use us in these things. In verse 7, he says, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now, this is tough stuff. Put your helmet on. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Translation. Lest I get a puffed up head and get conceited and arrogant about the amazing things God has shown me, to keep my feet on the ground, I was given a thorn in my flesh. Number one, we know this. It's a physical attack on his body. It has an excellent purpose. It's to keep his feet on the ground. Are you with me, everybody? Listen, this is serious business. Are you a Christian today? People ask the question, why do bad things happen to good people then? Well, first of all, we should ask the question, why do good things happen to anybody? Honestly. But don't think because you're a Christian today or a non-Christian that somehow you're exempt from difficulties. No, the difference is, my difficulties, God holds my hand and they're tailor-made to move me through them. And he has an eternal plan that he ain't going to share with me. He turns to me and he says, will you trust me with this? We're about ready to go through this fire. Jack, I want you to hold your breath and hold my hand. And as we get closer, you're going to go through this. You're going to feel this fire. It's going to get hot. And you're going to go through this fiery, fiery trial. But just know this. Just when you think you can't take it anymore is when I'm going to bring you out on the other side. Are you with me? Now, look. Have you ever had some sort of medical procedure and the doctor says, now listen, it's going to be like this. You're going to feel this and then you're going to feel this. And you're going to think you're going to suffocate at this moment. But just when you think you're about ready to freak out, it's going to stop. Now, have you ever had something like that done? I've had that done. This is too much information for you. TMI. I have a deformed throat. My throat didn't grow. Inside my larynx vocal cords, the passageway of my throat did not grow past the age of 6. And many years ago in this church, I was told by a very amazing physician in L.A., I had to go see him because I couldn't speak anymore. You guys, I would speak on a Sunday, and I'd go home. I'd have blood coming out of my throat. I couldn't talk. I just couldn't do anything until Wednesday. It was horrific, painful, terrible. And this doctor said, this is what we're going to do to you right now. And you're going to think you're going to suffocate. You have to trust me. The moment you think you're going to absolutely panic is the next time you're going to breathe air. You'll be okay. This is a human talking to me right now. I don't know about you guys. I used to work at Baxter Healthcare with doctors. I don't like doctors. If you're a doctor, I love you. But if you're a doctor, I don't like doctors. And he's asking me to trust him. And he puts this thing down my throat. And then he inflates this thing. I can't breathe. And I'm paying this guy. And he was right. The moment I thought I'm going to literally jump out. I mean, I remember sweating so bad. I wasn't crying, but the sweat was coming through out of my... I was sweating that bad with terror. And I'm trusting a man I've known for 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, God says, take my hand. This is what he says in the word. I'm going to take you through this. And I'm going to get you out on the other side. And you say, but what if I die? Well, if you die, you're very much alive when you die. What? If you die, you that breath that you wanted to take, you're going to take it anyway. Huh? Hi, Paul. Noah? Gabriel, Michael, how are you guys? Think about it. Now look, does that kind of set you back a little bit? No, I don't know if I want to go there. You are going there. All of us will die. The statistics are overwhelming. Nobody gets out alive. The cool thing is, heaven is our destination. It's where we're going. And when that reality permeates our life, we can say with Job, naked I came, naked I go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It doesn't mean we have some death wish. It means we live every day with joy and excitement to the glory of God. We kiss our kids and grandkids more every day, and we thank God for the sky and for the bunny rabbits or whatever's going on, because you know what? He made it all, and it's awesome, but it ain't nothing compared to where we're going. Nothing. Thank God. And all of that is glorious because he wants to use us. Paul said, if I'm going to be used, I got to have this thorn in my flesh, this weakness, this physical attack against my body. Philippians 3:10 says that I may know him. Paul's prayer was, and the power of his resurrection. Listen, church, I'm going to read that again and say amen. When I say the power of his resurrection, you shout amen, because we all want that. Watch this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection.
Amen.
But the next part of the verse is, and the fellowship of his suffering. Amen. That's right. The power of his resurrection. The power, amen! And the fellowship of his suffering. Amen. You can't have one without the other. Philippians 3:13 says, brethren, I do not count or consider myself as to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting or pushing back those things which are behind, I reach, straining forward to those things which are ahead. I press, lean hard into the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, man. And then also, reasonable to be humbled. It's reasonable to be humbled. In verse 7, he continues, a messenger of Satan. We don't know exactly what that means, honestly. A messenger of Satan, was that a virus? Was it a disease? Was it an ailment? Was it a disorder? Listen, was it a demon? We don't know. If anybody tells you they know, they don't know, because we've studied this and nobody knows. All we know, it was a real pain in the side. Literally, to Paul. And what did this thing do? It buffeted him. This is amazing. Church, the word means this. It means to take a stake and to pierce through. To pierce, to stab. It implies a fiery pain. Boom. Boom. Let that sit and settle for a moment with you. Paul's preaching, and clearly mobility is important. Could it be his legs? Could it be his knee that it hurt? So much to get from Derby to Lystra to Antioch. Was that it? I don't know. Was it his throat? Was it his fevers from possibly having malaria at some point in time in his ministry? Was it the residual fallout from that brutal stoning that took place where he was left for dead? Was it a jaw issue? We don't know. Was it an eye issue? Could have been he had a very serious eye problem. The point is, and I'm glad it's not well defined, because it allows us to address our own problems. It doesn't have to be physical, too. Think of it. It could be emotionally crippling. It keeps you humble. Don't raise your hand, but are you a Christian today? Yep. You want to be used by God today? Yep. Then guess what? For God to get all the glory, you've got to have a factor of being humbled perpetrated against your flesh. Why? Because my flesh says, God, this is awesome. This is awesome, God. Woohoo! This is great. Jesus, I have an idea. You can stay right here, and I'll go out here. No, he won't do that. He'll say, I have an idea. I want to keep using you. So, boop, pokes you in the eye, and Jesus stays out front. Are you willing to follow him like that? Are you willing to really follow him all the way into heaven and be humbled about it? If you want to have the power of God in your life to influence people and others and to follow Jesus in an effective way, embrace the humility he sends your way. And you know you're not making good headway when it's like this. Hey, wait a minute. Do you know who I am? You probably need a little bit of a thorn in your flesh. If you see a Christian now, you know, maybe they have a Christian, they have a cross around their neck, or they got a Christian t-shirt, and they're like mouthing off about something. I wanted my steak more tender than this. Maybe I'd just go on over there and say, man, you know what? God loves you so much, he could be afflicting you right now with that steak. But listen, when we complain, no matter what it is, we're throwing it back in God's face. Now, we need to be humbled. We also learn in verse 8, it's reasonable to be asking. He says, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord. How many times? Three times. This is a Hebrew idiom. Listen, he didn't pray three times and then never prayed again. To the Hebrew mind, he prayed three times means in total. The word means, I always ask God to heal me. Doesn't that give you some hope? Well, I just prayed three times and I'm supposed to never pray about it again. That's not what it means. In the Hebrew thinking, the idiom is to tell someone, I prayed three times. That was a statement where I asked God about this continuously. All the days of Paul's life, in his weaknesses, he asked God to heal him. See, but Jack, if God loved him, why didn't God heal him? Because God loved him. Sometimes God heals. Sometimes he doesn't heal. Not too long ago, I prayed for a woman. She was healed of cancer. And I've prayed for people, and they haven't been healed of cancer. What do you do about that? Do I lay awake at night stressing out about it? Who am I? God is sovereign. He's only asked me to pray. And he's asked me to pray believing. And he's asked me to pray believing and thanking him in advance for what he's going to do. But the outcome is his. I don't know what he wants to do in someone's life. Do you want to go to heaven? Yeah. We get so caught up in how we get to heaven. Are we going to drive there or fly? Walk? What will our mode of transportation be? See, we want to go to sleep tonight. And I'll confess, I'd like to go to sleep tonight and die in my sleep, but I don't want my family to miss me. That's a big deal for me. Are you like that too? That's kind of like my hell on earth. I'm okay with it all, except I don't want my family crying. I want them to say, oh, right, Dad's gone. Awesome. No, really, I mean that truly. I'm not joking. It breaks my heart to think that if something should happen to me, I don't want my grandkids, where's Papa? Where's Papa? That kills me. But what's the mode? I don't know. What's your mode? Who knows? But ask God. Lord, whatever's ailing my life, you can keep asking. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, I have to paraphrase it for time's sake. You guys, it is absolutely amazing. Do you remember when the disciples were together? And Peter is there, of course, and all the guys are there. And they're kind of bragging, by the way, about who's the greatest. Can you imagine? You guys, do you hear me? Can you imagine walking around Jesus? This is how I love the Bible. So honest. You're walking with Jesus, and in the group, you know, you're going from Cana to like Capernaum, and you're walking. Hey, so Andrew, I was just thinking, don't you think I'm going to be pretty great in the kingdom of heaven? Well, I don't know. I don't think you're. I don't know. Maybe, but I think James is going to be pretty great. I mean, look at his knees. I mean, there's a guy, he prays all the time. He's amazing. I think he's going to be great. What are you guys talking about? About how great James is going to be in heaven. What are you, nuts? I'm Peter. I'm going to be great in heaven. Can you? That's what they're talking about. And Jesus says, oh, hi, Peter. Oh, by the way, Satan was talking to me the other day. Oh, yeah? Well, you know, I mean, you're Jesus. It's amazing. Yeah, well, Peter, you ought to know that he asked for you. Can you imagine? Hello? Yeah, hi, I'm Lucifer. And is Peter home? Can you imagine? And he asked for you, Peter. He asked if he could have you. And I'd give anything to see that moment. Yeah, well, I mean, that's crazy, huh? Wow. I mean, you told him no, right? Actually, I didn't tell him no. I told him after, whatever you're doing, don't take his life or anything like that. But, oh, Peter, when you return to your brothers, strengthen them. Okay? See you later. And what happens shortly after that? Peter denies Jesus that he even knows who he is. Then Peter turns around and gets filled with the Holy Spirit and becomes a tiger for God, right? A lion for God. Number 9, difficulties become reasonable because hope arrives. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. This is for all of us. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect or completed in your weakness, Jack. My grace. Christian, God's grace will get you through. His grace is sufficient for everything. God's favor. What is it? God's unearnable favor. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't achieve it. You cry out to him for it, and God says, I'll give it. I'll get you through this. How does it work in my life? It's supernatural. It begins to well up in thoughts, situations. Those funny, strange, unexplainable moments when, boy, do you know, if this guy would have come 1 minute sooner, then this would have happened. Or if she would have showed up 2 minutes late, that never would have happened. Those weird, funny things. God's grace at work. Absolutely amazing. How do you get it? Call out to him. God's grace. My grace. God says, my grace is sufficient for your issue. Whatever you're going through, he didn't get caught off guard by it. He's right in the middle of it. In verses 9 and 10, we end that grace brings power. God's grace will empower us. There's a great strength available and power in our weaknesses. None of us any longer officially, after this message today, can hide behind excuses of weakness. No more. If you have weaknesses, God says, that's because I'm waiting to show that person my power. Oh, I can't do this. I can't. Of course you can't. God set it up that way so he can do it through you. No more excuses. And then we end in verse 10. It's reasonable to go through this because of the joyful hope, the joy that awaits us. He says, I am glad. And I will boast in my weaknesses. Paul, are you nuts? Are you crazy, Paul? No, because you know what? The power of Christ rests upon me through all of these difficulties, the infirmities, the reproaches, the needs, the persecutions. Are you kidding me? The distresses, all this stuff, are you kidding me? For Jesus' sake, the stuff living for Jesus, my life's dedicated to God, this stuff happens. Are you kidding? When I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. You can't stop someone like this. And you cannot be stopped either if you lean upon him.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called When Heaven Becomes Real. It's actually a series within a series taken from the first paragraph of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this unique New Testament letter, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, the month of May is upon us, and so we want to let you know about our Real Radio book of the month. It's called All of Grace by Charles Spurgeon. Remember, Pastor Jack personally selects a book of the month for Real Radio listeners, and All of Grace is a classic by one of the greatest and most well-respected preachers of the 19th century, of all time for that matter. In All of Grace, Spurgeon sets the record straight on how you and I contribute absolutely nothing to our own salvation. Go online and read the reviews of All of Grace. One commentator puts it this way, "What I appreciated a great deal while reading All of Grace is this call to the death of pride. If our salvation is in Christ alone, through faith alone, there is no room for boasting." You can purchase your own copy of All of Grace by Charles Spurgeon at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.